Welcome to the US 131 Motorsports Park Drag Racing Podcast. Strap in and hang on for all the latest news, results, and happenings from the fastest track in the world. Jason, Samuel, and Justin will offer different perspectives for what's going on at the track and highlighting different drivers and events along the way. This week we've got a special guest, John O'Neill from the WDRA will be joining us, and looking forward to that conversation. So thank you for taking the time to download and listen to our show. If you enjoy it, please rate us accordingly and tell your friends and family. If you have ideas or suggestions, please let us know. We are joined live right now with John O'Neill from WDRA. Johnny, how's it going today?
Well, it's going great, but I thought you and I were just going to BS about welding. I didn't really know we were doing all this podcast stuff. Come on, man. This feels like work.
Well, I mean, we can talk about welding if you want, but I think we're going to lose the five people that listen to this thing if we do that.
Well, I believe, and it's been a while since I've heard the US 131 Motorsports podcast, but is this what we're doing here? We breaking the channel back in?
We're going to give it a go. I know we did it last year and got through a couple episodes and the wheels fell off of it, but we're gonna try it again.
I am absolutely pleased to be here. It was something that I enjoyed listening to, and I know it's been a while since I've been on, and I'm happy to be here. I appreciate you guys taking the time.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule. I know we all have busy lives, but your schedule, basically running a sanctioning body, has got to be pretty difficult to work in a little bit of time to sit down and talk with Samuel and I. Jason is under the weather, and hopefully will join us next time.
Well, sorry to hear that, but well, it's 24/7. I'll tell you that. I'm dealing with a racetrack that's a few time zones away right now, and was on the phone with those guys until about 11 o'clock my time last night, and then was on with them at our previously scheduled time to get on this call. So I appreciate you guys being able to move it back for me here, but yeah, it's that time of year where the planning and the processes that need to go into it, and even just the processing of the memberships, you know, 5 o'clock every day is the deadline to get those licenses mailbox and do what I need to at the bank. And today was one of those days that I have not stopped. I'm actually sitting here waiting to get my hair cut at the moment. So yeah, we'll, I'm happy to squeeze you guys in, and it's definitely worth the time.
Awesome. Well, we certainly appreciate it, and I'm sure everybody else does as well. So let's kind of start at the beginning. Run us through how this association got its start.
Well, the beginning also, you know, kind of marks the end. You know, as you guys know, I've worked with both of you for a long time as a part of the IHRA, and that, you know, unfortunately was not made available for me and the guys that I worked with to purchase. Heard some pretty scary things on some pretty aggravating phone calls, and this all was kind of bred out of necessity. We all, you know, we've made a lot of promises to track owners and operators, and done a lot of good work for a lot of racers. We feel anyway. And we wanted to keep on having the opportunity to fulfill what we felt, you know, is an obligation in this industry. And that's, you know, the one to fight tooth and nail to keep sportsman drag racing viable in today's market. And that's where the WDRA was born. It's all the guys and gals that you're used to seeing at 131 at, say, a bracket finals event throughout the years. And it started as a whirlwind. The analogy we use is, you know, building the plane as you're flying it. And that's really what that first calendar year was all about. There were numerous hurdles in workflow and in HR and payroll and, you know, social media holes that we had that were normally handled by, you know, a parent company or parent group or a corporate office, you know, all things we had to bring inside and do ourselves, and skills to learn and tasks to manage. And but it's been an amazing ride to see how this market has responded to a group of guys and gals that are willing to make the right choices for the racetracks, the racers, and the marketing partners. And it has been overwhelming, the amount of support that we have received in this endeavor, and it grows by the day. So happy to be forced into the decision at this point. There were definitely days where it was far scarier than it was exciting, but those days are necessary, from what I hear from business owners who are branching out on their own.
Oh, for sure. And we wouldn't have this sport that we all know and love without people willing to stick their neck out, literally and figuratively, to give us a place to do something that we all enjoy doing. So definitely appreciate all of the hard work, and I only know the tip of the iceberg, you know, from talking with you at different events and on the phone and stuff. So it's certainly a journey, and we're very thankful to that you all have taken the opportunity as presented and started building this plane as you're flying. So just I guess give me your 30-second elevator pitch on what makes the WDRA the sanctioning body of choice for like a grassroots bracket racer.
Well, we're a group of individuals who have enough history in this industry to understand how the business needs to be operated. We've worked for a number of giant corporations. We've worked for a number of individual owners and owner groups to see the positives and negatives of some of the different paths to what we could call a successful business model. And with that experience comes the ability to make decisions that benefit the racetracks and the racers. And now that this is, let's call it an in-house property for us, that this is our own baby, if you will, we are able to make those decisions regardless of how much money make or lose for us as an organization. We are able to form partnerships with companies and individuals within this industry to offer discounts and services that you will not find anywhere else. And we are the group of individuals that not only have skill set to help your not only your small mom and pop grassroots sized drag strip, but all the way up to the national event style facilities. We are the ones that have the skill set to help you through problems that you may have, and the contacts that we have to put you in touch with people that you need to know in this industry. There's a racetrack that's it's got a new potential new lessee and a relatively new owner right now, and they are looking to potentially make a sanctioning body change. And they're, you know, I don't know, 7 or 8 hours that I've been on the phone with multiple people at that facility over the last 3 or 4 days. They are learning more about this industry in a person to person personal phone call than they have in, you know, a couple of years of being around this sport. And our willingness to, you know, put that time and effort out there to help better the sport without a sanctioning agreement, without hanging my flag above their tower, without slapping my decals on their scoreboards, that's really what shows through to a number of potential new customers. As far as the racer goes, man, there are opportunities out there to race at racetracks that are not sanctioned by the WDRA. And, you know, I want you to look at what service you're getting for the cost that you have and the benefits to you. And The list of partners that we have listed on racewdra.com that give product and service discounts for being a WDRA member, and just think about how the pipeline works. Let's follow the money here. A racer pays for their license. A racer pays for an entry fee at a drag strip. You're supporting the two industries here that need to survive to keep drag racing viable in today's society. And pick where your money's going, pick where your effort goes. Go to a facility that makes you happy, where you feel like you're part of a family, that you feel like you're respected and cherished and honored. And think about how willing you are to have someone stand behind you and support you in your endeavors. And if you're willing to support somebody that will support you, then I would be willing to talk to you about why the WDRA is that choice.
For
If you
sure.
think your money goes into, somebody's pocket or some corporate coffers, and you're just viewed at as a number, then that may not be the right place for you.
Yeah, and the one thing that I've heard constantly throughout, our conversations at Bracket Finals, our conversations at other events, and here right now is, it's really about the people. It's about the drag racers themselves. It's about the track owners and operators. It's about the people, and that's where the WDRA's focus seems to be.
Sure. Absolutely.
So, and one of the things that makes the WDRA unique is an advisory panel that you have set up of different track operators from around the country. And I guess who sits on that panel currently?
Well, right now, well, let's go back to the start, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
When we started this thing, we were an unknown entity. We're an unknown name and an unknown brand and an unknown endeavor, to the world, to our key racetracks that we had worked with for decades. They knew what they were stepping into. They knew that we were now going to be fighting for them with the gloves off. There were a lot of people that stepped up and said, "How can I help?" And at the same time, we needed to show the world that we had the backing of a number of key people in this industry. And at the time, we pulled the Bracket Finals host facility owners or operators. We also pulled some key members in this industry. There's a lot of knowledge that comes with some of the other racetracks, and some of those names were, you can look at Jason there at US 131. There are racers that never raced at 131 besides maybe going to a bracket finals, and if they see the kind of operation that happens there, they know the hope was they know that if Jason is behind them and helping us in this, there's some status there. And the whole goal was to bring some comfort. And yes, absolutely, I rely on the track owners and operators to bounce ideas off of constantly. And it's not just the list of Jason, and it's not just the list of Royce Miller, and it's not Carl Blanton out at Mocan, and it's not, Greg Miller at Keystone, another Bracket Finals host track close to you guys up here in the north. It's about, well, heck, if I need to talk someone through the ups and downs of pouring their own concrete walls, I'm going to shoot them to Mike McCracken at Beaver Springs, who built his own forms and then built his own open trailer that's designed like a horseshoe to literally drive around a piece of concrete barrier and pick it up from the sides. I mean, a guy that went through all the ups and downs of having to pour his own concrete, or somebody that wants to get involved with Renegade Traction Compound. I'm gonna, shoot him to Gerald at Eddyville, or I'm gonna shoot him to Gary Harper at Mid America. There are drag strips that you guys have never heard of that I use on a day-to-day basis to get input from. And that's what that goal was. There were a lot of people that, you know, were, they were guessing that that advisory board were all part owners of the WDRA, or that we were paying them to be on that advisory council to use their good name and status in this industry. And none of that holds any merit. They were just people that stood up and said, yeah, you can put my name down on that list of people that's helping support you. So that's what that was. And that's what that is. And I'll tell you this, we don't list advisory council in our rule book for 2024. We're simply trying to work off the merits of what we built, because now we have a year's worth of positive momentum under us, and this industry is hearing who we are and what we do, and we're growing that naturally as we go.
Yeah, that's great to hear. It definitely have gained a lot of traction, and you're definitely heading in the right direction.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. And how many tracks are currently flying the WDRA flag?
Ooh, changing daily as we release stuff right now. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that there are currently 54 that are contracted and listed with us. I can also tell you that there are some more in the pipeline. That are either I know are coming soon or that I think are coming soon. But let's go with 54.
Okay. That's a good solid number, especially for, you had to build this thing from the ground up. So that's...
Listen, I'm happy if I can make a business model work and there are 10 racetracks that want what I have to offer. I don't really care. I don't need to have as many drag strips as I've worked with in the past. It's more about quality with me than it is with quantity. Because there's another thing that's happening in this industry, and you know, there are facilities that are becoming sanctioned that, you know, frankly, don't fit any of what I would call, in my opinion, an industry standard safety guideline. That's not really the goal that we're going to go for. It's never going to be about how many racetracks we have in my mind. It may be something that's, that's a great one-liner in a press release to show the world how much reach we have, but really it's more about focusing on our attention on the quality of the product that we produce and the service that we provide.
I think that's a great point. That's really good. And that being said, where would you see the WDRA in 5 years if everything goes well?
Well, it's hard to think past the end of this calendar year right now, to be honest with you. Let's do this. Let's talk about the value for the member dollar. What you as a racer and your family spends, which you're buying what, like 47 licenses now for your family.
Pretty close.
When the Wanamakers come in, I have to buy a U-Haul trailer to take your license paperwork to the post office. But when you spend that dollar with us, I want to see the value of what you get back for that. Not only do I want you to have access to that $150,000 in excess medical coverage, which you can't buy that anywhere else in life for a $100 bill. I want you to get enough discounts on products and services from my partners and from, you know, family members of this endeavor that you end up making money back. There are plenty of people that have signed up for that Summit Racing Equipment Pro Shop account that you get access to when you're a WDRA member. That alone will save you far more than the $100 that you spend. There are people who have spent money at Alliance Racewear, for instance, and bought some gear or bought a custom fire suit with their sponsor logos on it, and they've saved far more than that $100. And the list goes on. I really would love everybody to take a look at racewdra.com and click on that racer tab. And a new one that popped up for 2024 is Tommy Borgia with Kentucky Gears coming out with a 10% discount. If you need rear end work done, he's got this cool micro polishing. I think it's isotropic micro polishing for rear end gears. It's really cool. It's cool stuff for a gearhead like me, and maybe some other people will have an interest in it. But when you get a 10% discount on a service like that, I want you to think about what you had to pay to get that. Another new one, One Sky Media. If you have a race team, and or if you have kids in this sport, children in this sport that you think may want to take this to the next level, having a website built for them is a cool opportunity. And also, a lot of racers and people in this industry that have separate businesses, and that's a company that can help you build a website. Let's look at 15% from on a Jones pump or a Jones transmission cooling system, or somebody wants to go to Roy Hill's drag racing school. Or one of the really cool ones, JJ Supply of North Carolina. Joey down there does those really sweet, I don't know what to call them. I'm going to call it a tube, a fire tube, if you will. And I'm going to butcher this, but it's a product that he installs in a lot of NASCAR haulers and fuel haulers and professional race car team trailers. That's a completely hands-off fire suppression system for a trailer. And we've all seen those, horrific cell phone videos of someone trying to detach their motor home from their trailer on the side of the highway as it's bursting into flames. And that's a guy that stepped up and said, "Johnny, I love what you're doing. I love how you're supporting this sport. I want to be able to offer a discount through your members." And they're exclusive members on anything you buy from him and a lot of these other companies that you can't get anywhere else. So where do I see that? Oh, I see that growing. I want you to be able to make multiple times your investment back in savings. Now let's get real here. I know you're not going to buy a new fire suit from Alliance Racewear every year, but think about that in the long run. If that list of companies that will work for you grows year after year, then the savings just continues to grow, and then it doesn't feel like a money grab to get that license. And then my secret goal in the background is to get more people in that insurance policy that helps them move on with their life. If heaven forbid something were to happen to you while you're a participant in a drag race, and you need that excess medical coverage. My whole goal here is one of the big ones is safety, and having people licensed at a WDRA racetrack means that they are covered by that insurance policy, and that means that you don't necessarily need to lose where you are at in life to cover medical bills if something happens to you and your personal insurance falls short. Where else do I see the WDRA? In 5 years, I cannot imagine where we are going to be as far as growth, as far as racetracks and sponsors go. This is somewhat contradictory to what we just talked about, but I'm not out hard selling racetracks right now. I have never been a hard sell guy for as long as I've been in this industry. I want people to want to be part of what we are producing. And the simple reason for that is if you look at your options for a sanctioning body on paper and you choose not to be with me, then I am completely fine with that. I will honor that decision and I will still help you every step along the way when you can't get a phone call back from someone else. Out of that, we have an unprecedented number of racetracks calling us wanting to get involved with our sanctioning body. The growth that we experienced after our first year moving into 2024 is simply huge, and we're not done yet. And the workload from that is going to continue to grow to the point where we are going to need more help. It takes man and woman power. It takes bodies to do what we do day in and day out and service these racetracks. As we were talking before this event, you know, all you guys and gals up at the banquet for 131. I'm heading down to one in London, Kentucky. Frank, another director, has got one this weekend as well. Josh is bouncing between the Carolinas and Florida right now, doing some very similar work and helping spread the WDRA word. So it's, you know, I see some growth in what we need staff-wise. I see growth in the marketing partners that we are working with that offer discounts and services to you guys. I see growth in what we are able to provide our racetracks. I see that number of racetracks continuing to grow naturally. And I see us being able to find the next endeavor for us. And what I mean by that is, the Summit Sportsman Drag Racing Series is a program very similar to what we used to run called the Summit. Oh, geez, I can't even remember.
Summit Super Series.
So long to get these words drilled out of my head. But thank you. The Summit Super Series that we used to run there at 131. It looks very similar to it because it's the program that we not only engineered, but it's the program that we perfected over the years. And there are a lot of changes that we made to it when we started the WDRA. But there needs to be the next step. A lot of people ask why we are only a bracket racing organization. And I argue that point. We are not a bracket racing organization. We are a facility services organization. The most important thing that we do is try and help keep drag strips open. Those who call me that want to go pro mod racing, those that call me that think index racing is what's going to keep this industry alive, those that call me that think that small tire racing is where it's at, or every track in the country needs to do heads up no prep racing to be able to keep their doors open, they're all wrong. Everybody's wrong. It's the inverse. The most important thing is keeping the track open. With the track open, there can be pro mod racing, there can be index racing, and there can be class racing. Whether those things need to be facilitated by a sanctioning body or not is arguable. So our goal is always going to be focusing on providing discounts, services, and offerings to the drag strip and to the racer, and then everything else comes naturally. You guys have pro mods that run at 131. You guys do heads up stuff. You do index stuff. You can call any number of class racing associations and get a class race put on. And then nobody has to worry about the rules and regulations, licensing and tech of a sanctioning body coming in and trying to change region by region what you do. Bracket racing is simply the only endeavor that I can make work universally at every drag strip in the world. Because if I say we're going heads up small tire racing in Michigan, boy, it's going to look a lot different than it does in the Carolinas or in Florida or in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. The class structures, the car makeups, competition rules, safety rules, it's all going to differ. But we are going to need to find the next step in what we can offer the racetracks as a universal program that works across the board. We've got some ideas floating around about what that might be. But within the next 5 years, I think we're going to have something rolled out. In 5 years, well, let's leave it at that. I think I've blown enough hot air at you guys for that question.
No, that was a good answer. It was a little more than I expected, but No, that was it was a very thorough answer. So, and I just have one last question just to kind of end on a nice light note. Do you happen to have a favorite story that something that happened this last season, whether it's something funny or something that's like, you know what, I'm going to remember what happened for a very long time?
Well, it seems like everything we've done this past season was memorable because it was the first time we were doing it for ourselves. You know, I've worked for a lot of people and we've accomplished a lot of amazing things under the banner of somebody else. And, you know, and we all that, and I quote, that we were pawns in this game and that we would never be led to have any power. It felt really good to step out, and every little decision we got to make, you know, every dollar we got to spend when a corporate entity would never let us spend it, every trade deal we got to make, it was all monumental to us and very, you know, positively emotional in that case. Something I will never forget is the look on the banker's face. And I'm going to have to go back to give this story some depth. So we all know Bill Bader, Sr., may he rest in peace, moved the IHRA to Norwalk, Ohio, so that he could run both the then Norwalk Raceway Park and the IHRA from home, if you will. And the IHRA was based right in downtown Norwalk when I started working there. And it was at the National City Bank building. And in the National City Bank building, underneath of the IHRA, was PNC Bank, the bank that both the sanctioning body used and I personally used. I have a very long relationship with the men and women that work in that bank. And every time I walk in there, they wave and say hi and ask me where I've been on my travels. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, two decades of knowing people that work in a small town branch of a bank. And that bank has consequently moved, and obviously the IHRA has consequently moved, but a lot of the people stayed the same. And man, I've had those accounts for a long time. And we had, you know, our WDRA accounts there. And the day that I had to walk in before we started traveling down to the World Finals, and I had to say, I need to take out a very substantial amount of cash. And what I'm talking about here is when we got ready to go down to the World Finals and we had decided that we were not going to write checks in the winner's circle, we were going to pay cash. And not just to the winners, but from the first round runner-ups of the list. And that amount of money was huge. And take into account here that when you take out more than $10,000 cash, there's a, you know, there's a little note that you have to fill out there, you know, due to some laws, mainly with about people moving money illegally. But when you walk in there and try and take 10 times that amount of money out of the bank account, they start asking questions. And boy, it was a funny hour long conversation that I had to have with them about what we were doing and where all this cash was going to go. They were personally worried about me as an individual and what I was going to do with this money. It was an endeavor. We felt like if we were standing in the winner's circle, you know, getting a check handed to us that we had to drive home in cash, wouldn't be nearly as fun of an experience as getting handed a big wad of cash. And if you guys have received your rule books yet, you'll know that most of those cover shots of the champions that we have on those rule book covers include that stack of cash that they got to drive home with. And it was a funny conversation that I will never forget. When they said, "Excuse me, you want to take how much out of your account?" but it was, you know, let's get down to brass tacks here. There are people in this industry that were trying to spread some rumors about what we were doing and where our funding was coming from, and that funding was ending, and that we were failing, and we were going to bounce checks at the World Finals, and We thought, well, there's, let's get real here. There's one way to squash that. Let's hire a videographer and a photographer to come down and make sure we document the fact that there's cold hard cash going out at this event. And so it was frustrating at the start of the conversation. It actually took about 2 weeks for the bank to compile the amount of money that we had to pull out of our account. But it was an awesome experience to, pull that backpack out of the safe place that we had it stored and start pulling stacks of cash out of it to hand out to our champions. And I will never forget that because it marks the culmination of a very hard year, personally. It was, this was a dream. Although it wasn't a dream that I chose at the start, it was a dream that every single day when we fought through this endeavor, it was about being able to honor those folks that worked so hard to get there and supported us throughout the year. And we were able to hand out, a couple $100,000 in cash too. So yeah, that look on the face of the banker, that's something that I will never forget. And moving forward, I think that should it should be an easier endeavor when we need to take a large chunk of cash out of our bank account that we've been saving to pay out to racers.
No, that's a pretty cool story, John, and thank you for sharing that. So
Sure.
I think we need to let you go in and get your haircut before they close up shop here. So
It's time. There's an angry woman standing here with a pair of scissors and a pair of clippers. You're about to hear the start of a haircut before I drive down to London, Kentucky, and be a part of their banquet. I'd rather not look like a shaggy dog.
Well, I'm sure they would appreciate that too.
If you guys don't mind, let's take a quick minute and think about. I would like to say thank you. For all of the hard work and effort that Mr. Jay Gilman has put in, just for me personally throughout the years. I read the article there that Jay's going to be taking some more time to spend on his boat, and I honor that. I think he's earned it. I know he's done a lot of good around the racetrack, but just for me personally, he was, man, he's literally a workhorse. At that facility, and on a personal level, he will be missed. But I hope he spends his time in a good manner, taking the time to do what he needs for himself.
No, that's very true, and it we'd be amiss if we let that one go by. So we definitely will miss Jay around here, and we wish him all of the best in his retirement, and hopefully he's not a stranger around this place.
No doubt. No doubt. Give him the opportunity to come watch some drag racing and enjoy himself and not have to be constantly putting out fires.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of putting out fires, it sounds like somebody's going to have to shoulder some more responsibility around that place. Is there happen to be someone on the podcast here that could speak to that a little
Yeah, I'm back here in the shadows, starting to come out.
bit? Good to hear your voice, Samuel.
So, well, hey, John, thank you again. We really appreciate your time. We'll have to do this again sometime. And who knows, maybe we'll have the interview that we talked about at Bracket Finals this last year.
Sure. Absolutely, man. I am game. I am game.
All right. Well, hey, safe travels to you, and we look forward to seeing you at some point in this 2024 season.
Thank you guys. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, Samuel, that was quite the conversation with John O'Neill. Definitely enjoyed that. He was waiting to get his hair cut, and the lady at the barber shop was giving him the evil look, saying,
Yeah.
"You better wrap this thing up."
Yeah, he didn't, don't want to mess up that haircut he gets every time. I really he told us that he only makes time for like when the absolute necessary, but I do not believe that for 1 second.
No, I don't either. You don't look like Elvis and be able to, only cut your hair once in a while.
Yeah. Nope.
So that's gonna do it. We're excited to be back. We thank Johnny O'Neill for joining us on this first one back. I know last year we tried to do a couple, and just the wheels fell off of it, and we're going to give it another go on the podcast here. And that's going to do it for this week. We're not real sure when we're going to be able to keep going. It'll be on a regular basis, maybe every week or two. Just a quick note of a couple events that are coming up that affect the local racers here. February 24th, there'll be a racer party at Wings Etc. at Kalamazoo. That's kind of the sixth or seventh annual event. It's a charity event, and it's a great time with a lot of good bench racing and some amazing prizes that are going to be up for grabs. As well as on March 9th, there will be a practice tree race put on by Matt Davis at Rustin Scott's place up near Grand Rapids somewhere. So you can find full details on both of those events coming up on Facebook, especially Matt Davis's event there. Rustin Scott made a really cool flyer for him. And if you are friends with Mark Wessler on Facebook, he's got all of the details for the racer party. If you're not, send him a friend request. It's worth the ad for sure. So that's going to do it for us. Thanks again, and we will talk to you sometime soon.
We'll see you in the lanes.